Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal, Text Number 30. Tvam sapta tantun vitano sitanva Traya chatur hotraka vidyacha Tvam eka atmavatam anadir Anta para kavir anantaratma Tvam you Sapta tantun The seven kinds of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Beginning from the Agni Stoma Yagya. Vitanoshi. Spread. Tanva. By your body. Traya. The three Vedas. Chatu Hotraka. Are the four kinds of Vedic priests, known as Hota, Advaryu, Brahma, and Udgata. Vidya, by the necessary knowledge. Cha, also. Tvam, you. Eka, one. Atma, the Supersoul, Atmavatam, of all living entities, Anadi, without beginning, Anantapara, without end, Kavi, the Supreme Inspirer, Antakatma, the Supersoul within the core of the heart. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, by your form as the Vedas personified and through knowledge relating to the activities of all the yogic brahmanas, you spread the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of the seven kinds of sacrifices headed by Agnishtoma. Indeed, you inspire the yogic brahmanas to perform the rituals mentioned in the three Vedas. Being the Supreme Soul, the Supersoul of all living entities, you are beginningless, endless, and omniscient, beyond the limits of time and space. Purport. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, the knowledge thereof, and the person who agrees to perform them are inspired by the Supreme Soul. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Matak smritir jnanam apoanam cha. From the Lord come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Supersoul is situated in everyone's heart. Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishtak. Ishvara sarabhutanam riddeshe arjunatishtati. And when one is advanced in Vedic knowledge, the Supersoul gives him directions. Acting as the Supersoul, the Lord gives inspiration to a suitable person to perform the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. In this connection, the four classes of priests, known as Ridvik, are required. They are mentioned as Hota, Avaryu, Brahma, and Udgata. Tvam sapta tantum vitanosi tanva traya chatur hotraka vidya cha Tvam eka atmatmavatam anadir ananta parak kavir anantaratma. My dear Lord, by your form as the Vedas personified and through knowledge relating to the activities of all the yogic Brahmins, you spread the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of the seven kinds of sacrifices headed by Agnishtoma. Indeed, you inspire the yogic Brahmins to perform the rituals mentioned in the three Vedas. Being the Supreme Soul, the Supersoul of all living entities, you are beginningless, endless, and omniscient, beyond the limits of time and space. Arini Kashyapu is continuing his flattery. He's saying that Brahma is the Supreme Soul. He's in everyone's heart, he's omniscient, etc. And yet we learn previously that Hiranyakashipu has plans to actually take over Brahmaloka, kill Brahma, and take his place. So he actually believes he can actually become omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. So that's called pride. Although the soul is 1/10,000th the size of Tipira in size, somehow or another, Hiranyakashipu thinks he can expand himself into the whole universe. But he's wrong. Of course, he's wrong. Now, the real thing is, the real purpose is to try to control the mind. Now, obviously, Hiranyakashipu had some control of his mind, otherwise he couldn't have gone through such austerities. But we understand actual control of the mind, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, udharad atmanatmanam atmana avasadaya atmaiva yatmano bandura atmaiva ripur atmanaha bandura atmanas tasya yenaiva atmanadita anatmanas tu shatrutve varte tatmaiva shudridva. A person has to elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. That the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy is the well. Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukudukesha shu tatamana pamanayo. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. For such a person, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, all the same. So the aim of human life is to conquer the mind. Prahlad Maharaj said, actually in this world, there's no enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. So that's human form of life is meant to do that. And when one conquers the mind, one comes in contact with Krishna. But there's only one way of conquering the mind. And that's machita machkita prana bodhyantash parashparam katayantashram nityam tu shanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna says, the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me, their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti puravakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So for those who are interested in bhakti yoga, trying to serve Krishna, then Krishna will give one intelligence how to become fixed in the service, how to become more steady and more enthusiastic about one's service. This is what Prahlad Maharaj prayed for. I don't need any other benediction. I simply want my devotional service to become stronger and steadier. And when this devotional service becomes fixed, then Krishna personally guides the devotee what to do, what not to do. He personally takes charge. Tesham eva nukambhartam aham agyana jam tamaha nashamyam yamabhavashto jnana dipena bhashvata. Out of compassion, I dwell in their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness which is born of ignorance. So if we just try to conquer our mind and place it in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, by becoming more steady and more enthusiastic about what we're doing, do everything with more care and attention, do everything with more yuktanam, connected with Krishna, with priti, with affection, then the result is Krishna becomes conquered, and Krishna gives us the intelligence by which we can make steady progress in the path of devotional service. Gradually everything is revealed, but what's revealed is not something new. Simply what's revealed is what already we've heard thousands and thousands of thousands of times. We heard it again and again, and then it becomes realized knowledge. Then, that's what it is. We think, I heard that 1,000 times and never heard it. Now I finally heard something about it. Therefore, one of the processes is, as Hiranyakashipu is demonstrating, a little bit of reverence, a little bit of humility. We think we've heard Bhagavad Gita a million times, or half a million times, or maybe even one time, whatever, how many times we've read. And we think we've understood it, and we haven't realized that Krishna, and we haven't understood it. So we should not think, oh, another time hearing Bhagavad Gita. I've heard this a million times already. Maybe something new they can introduce. Some story, something, keep me awake. Some pastime. Some insight from the acharyas I never heard before. It makes it more interesting. Rather than hearing the same thing over and over again, as if we had heard it the first time, or the 100th time, or the 1,000th time. We still haven't heard it, therefore we haven't realized it. Not only we haven't heard it, but because we're not practicing it, because we're not convinced that the main activity during the day, permanently, forever, should be to make my devotional service more strong and more enthusiastic, more steady, more care and attention in whatever I'm doing. We think, well, that's too much. I mean, you're asking too much from me. I'm already given more than I could have. I mean, I deserve not only one medal, I deserve a cabinet of medals for everything I've done. Therefore, I deserve a mic at least. Therefore, one has to become a little humble and realize that what have we understood? If we haven't realized we're not this body, we haven't even understood the first instruction in Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, we should try to study Bhagavad Gita so that we can come to realize those two things. We can realize Krishna and we can realize who we are. And in order to do that, we have to realize what I'm supposed to be doing, what Krishna is telling me in Bhagavad Gita I'm supposed to do. That when we're doing something, we should look at it and think, how can I do this activity with more care and attention? First of all, does Krishna even want me to do this activity? Or is my mind demanding that I do the activity? And if my mind is demanding, then Krishna's far away. He's covered by my mind. And I can't hear Krishna, conveniently. Krishna's saying, beep, beep, don't do that. And my mind's saying, hey, you didn't hear that little guy, did you? Don't worry about him. He's always trying to lord it over everyone. Listen to me, I'm your friend, I love you, you're great, I'm your fan, go for it, tiger. So when we become attached to our mind, then Krishna is beep beep, I'm here somewhere, where are you? Forget it, you're too far away, don't bother me. Oh, mind, tell me what to do. Yes, I got a plan for you, boy. You'll live this one. So when the mind covers us, then Krishna goes away. And when Krishna comes, then there is no maya. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar Yahun Krishna Tahun Maya Yaha Andhakar. That Krishna is like the sun and maya is like the darkness. Wherever there is the sun, there can be no question of darkness. So if we're in anxiety, if we're covered, we're confused, means simply Krishna is not there. Instead, we're fully absorbed in our mental speculations and our intelligence is not so weak that actually we're believing whatever maya is misdirecting us with. So the solution is here, hear about Krishna from the right source, and then become determined to do service with care and attention, and then expect Krishna's mercy, listen for Krishna's guidance, and then Krishna will gradually take our coverings away so we can actually hear him more clearly. We can actually hear what he says in the scripture. Because it's the super soul who's allowing us to hear everything. From without he's speaking is Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and from within, according to our sincerity, then he's revealing what Guru and Sadhana and Shastra are telling us. When he sees we're actually interested in hearing Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, Then he gives us intelligence by which we can understand what they're saying. And when we apply it, then he gives us more intelligence. Then he reveals what he was talking about. And if we don't listen, it means that we're not really taking Krishna very seriously. When we don't take Guru Sadhana Shastra seriously, it means we're actually not taking Krishna seriously. And when we listen but we don't apply, it means we don't take Krishna that seriously either. And when we apply but we don't try to improve how we're applying, then we're also not taking Krishna very seriously. So Krishna only gives us intelligence as much as he sees we're trying to take him seriously. Then he helps us. If we don't make any effort, then Krishna doesn't reveal anything because he sees we're not interested really. We're only interested up to a point, if at all. But when he sees that we're very much interested and we're inquisitive and then we're actually listening attentively, trying to understand, then Krishna gives us the intelligence to listen attentively, assimilate the knowledge, apply it correctly, and then make progress in devotional service. So eventually we see that myself and everyone else, we're all eternal servants of Krishna, and Krishna is the most attractive person. Brahma, of course, is one soul empowered by Krishna. Hiranyakashipu is glorifying him as the super soul. Obviously, he hasn't read Bhagavad Gita. He hasn't even read Srimad Bhagavatam. But still, he has some awareness that if he wants to become God, he better ask someone more powerful than him. And then after he gets the benedictions, then he can throw the guy away and take his place. That's his, more or less his plan. Not a nice guy. Not the type of person you want to meet in a dark alley. In any case, we can take his glorification and understand it's directed towards Krishna, although he doesn't like Krishna, as we'll find out. He's actually getting all this power to defeat Krishna rather than to serve him. Therefore, he's covered. Krishna is not going to give him intelligence to understand everything properly. So instead of worshiping Krishna, he's worshiping Avidhi Purvakam. He's worshiping a demigod. And therefore, his fruits will be limited and temporary. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. It was unusual to hear in the past that don't be a jnani, don't try to figure things out too much, read too much, think too much, just do your service. Just do service and then you will understand. Or Krishna will give you the understanding. What would you say about such? Just do your service.
Part of the service is to hear.
Well, so the morning Bhagavatam, that's enough. And then the whole...
Depends how complicated you are. If you're not very intellectually inclined, then just doing service. But of course, you have to do it with love and with care and attention. Just doing service itself is not going to progress as very much in devotional service. We have to become convinced that we should do it with care and attention, everything we're doing. And it should all be authorized by Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra. So it's not enough just to do service. We have to do it in the proper consciousness. So unless you hear enough, then you may not be able to remember. Now, if you can hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, you must have perfected your devotional service previously in order to be able to hear that much. Now, some people, they may have been greatly advanced in the devotional service, and that's sufficient to them. To get a little reminder, and then throughout the day, they're doing all their services with care and attention. Others are more, or their nine process of devotional service, some people like to hear and chant more. They take pleasure in hearing and chanting, which is actually the goal. Take pleasure. I mean, we find the great devotees, Raghunath Das Goswami, or Raghunath Bhat Goswami, he's reading Srimad Bhagavatam in three different tunes. And he was so ecstatic when he was reading the tears from his eyes washed away the Bhagavatam. So there are nine processes. One of them is hearing, another is chanting, another is remembering. So any one of them is all right. They're all devotional service. Not only serving the deities, but also hearing Bhagavatam is also service. But the important thing is that this should be done with care and attention, so that eventually we're actually remembering Krishna while we're doing the service. And we're trying to please him by the service. So the aim, before we do the service, we should think that everything here belongs to Krishna. This is what I've been assigned to do, and I'm going to do it to please Krishna. So if it's done devotionally, whatever we're doing will be perfect. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.